السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. We continue with our series of lectures on the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat. I'm in the process of completing all the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, and inshallah, I think at the end of this lecture series, we will also have a short book on the entire tafsir of the surah, as a result of this khutbah, inshallah. And that will be available to you on the net. While I was reflecting on the surah, I thought to myself that if we were to give this surah a name, what name would it be? And the thought that came into my mind is that Suratul Hujurat can be called Suratul Ummah, because it is a surah about the formation of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a surah that gives us directions about what works and what doesn't work, what builds and what destroys, what one must do and what one must avoid in explicit detail. And that's why it's a very, very important surah to remember. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to memorize and to recite and read over and over again, because it is the instructions in this surah that if we follow, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with the brotherhood of faith and all the barakah that goes with it. And if we break those instructions, then we will have, and we already have, what we have, which is the Ummah only in name. So let us become aware of the attitude of the people of Jannah and inculcate that attitude in ourselves so that we may be included in that list. It is necessary for that to reflect and to face some painful facts and make some changes in lifestyle and friendships. Allahul Musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people of Jannah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the first to embrace Islam, the first to enter Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and also those who followed them exactly in faith. Bil Ihsan. The problem of translation once again. Allah did not say exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Taba'uhum bi Ihsan. Follow them in excellence. Now, by definition, that is exactly, but that's not the translation of Ihsan. Ihsan is not exact. So, al-ihsan, meaning that we must make the effort not just to follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but to do that at the level that the Sahaba used to do. Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well pleased with them as they are pleased with Him. As I mentioned before, in the meaning of this ayah, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need not have left the door open for people who came after the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply could have said, As-sabiquna al-awwaluna min al-muhajirina wal-ansari radiyallahu anhu wa radwan. The ayah would have been complete in itself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do that. It is the rahmah of Jalla wa Ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He left the door open for anyone until the day of judgment who follows the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in excellence. And then insha'Allah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with them and they will be pleased with Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of us among those who will follow the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in excellence until our last breath. We ask Allah to make this easy for us, and we ask Allah to accept this from us, inshallah. And Allah said, He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. And that is supreme success. Supreme success is not the garden you have in this world. Supreme success is not a farm in Wiqarabad. Supreme success is a farm in Jannatul Firdausul A'la. Think about that. One of my good friends told me, good friends and relatives, he told me that ab tumhara wo stage aa gaya, tum ab Vikarabad mein ek farm kharidna zaruri hai. Yeah, so he said, I have reached that stage in my life where I should now buy a farm in Vikarabad. I told him, better than that, you buy the farm and give it to me. Yes, much, much better than that. Anyway, the point I'm saying is that this is not a criterion of success. The criterion of success is the farm in Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala, inshallah. That's why I always say, all Muslims should be in which business? Real estate business, all these old students. All Muslims should be in the real estate business. That's the only business which is jaiz and halal for the Muslims, the real estate business. What real estate business is that? Which real estate? In Jannah, building palaces in Jannah. Yeah, zameena khane ki baat nahi kar raha hu main. Building palaces in Jannah. Building palaces in Jannah. How do you build a palace in Jannah? Very simple. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone abuses you, if you keep quiet, Allah will give you a palace in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone takes away your right, it is your right. It's not that something is, it's not a grace that, no. Your right. Someone takes away your right and you do not retaliate, Allah will give you a palace in Jannah. How many people are filing suits after suits after suits on their own brothers and sisters and so on for some few square feet of land, your father's house or somebody's property? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. You want that 3 feet of land in this dunya or you want a palace in Jannah? Which one? Decide. And that's why I always say, don't come here to listen to these khutbas. Come here to change your life. Come here to do something about it. So when you go back from here, go call your lawyer, go call your advocate and say, I withdraw the case against my brother, my sister, whoever. Give that thing to them. Khalas, end of story. I don't want this land. I don't want that property. I don't want anything. And believe me, the people putting those cases are not people living on the street. Those people already have houses to live in. Those people already have property. Koi jhopde wala nahi dala case. आपके हमारे वैसे लोग का कैसा डाल रहे हैं, इसके पास एक घर नहीं दस दस घर है, मगर बस नहीं होता, पेट भूख बहुत है. प्लीज डू दैट. करेंगे भाई? एज अ रिजल्ट ऑफ मी ऑल माय एडवोकेट फ्रेंड्स लूज बिजनेस, बट अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह ऑल गुड गॉड फियरिंग पीपल, दे डोंट माइंड लूजिंग बिजनेस लाइक दिस. They don't even like to do business like this. I know friends of mine who are advocates who do this under duress. When somebody says file a suit against my brother, I know friends of mine who sit and argue with that person and say, don't do this. Don't do this. I will not do this for you. How can you file a suit against your brother? So alhamdulillah, I don't think they will be disappointed at all if people come to them and say, I have decided I will withdraw the suit against my brother because I want a palace in Jannah. This dunya, this piece of land, this ground, I don't want. Alhamdulillah, inshallah. Karenge bhai? Will you do it? Inshallah. My dear brothers and sisters, I began this whole series of lectures with my quote on attitude. And what is that quote? Attitude drives behavior and behavior drives results. I began with that quote simply because attitude is at the root of all good and all evil. It was the attitude of Iblis which drove his action of rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which produced the result of being in Jahannam forever. Eternal damnation. And it was the attitude of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, our mother and father, which drove their behavior of seeking forgiveness for the mistake which they made, which gave them the guarantee of Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala. So let us check our own attitude towards the orders of Allah and towards the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And let us see if this attitude is one that is likely to get us Jannah or the other place. Let us ask, am I serving Allah or am I serving my nafs? Let us ensure that we don't allow our so-called knowledge to become a trap for us. Knowledge without practice is a horse without a rider. No matter how fast that horse, it cannot win the race if there is no jockey on its back. So stop collecting horses and learn to ride. That's the only way to win the race, is to learn how to ride. So stop collecting horses and learn to ride. Practice what you know. Let us create metrics to measure how well we are submitting our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Measure the number of sunnah you follow. Count. What you don't measure, you don't know. Michael Harry, the guy who invented, from Motorola, who invented Six Sigma quality, his famous quote, he said, you want to see what people value? See what they measure. Very famous quote. He said, if you want to see what people value, see what they measure. So measure the number of sunnah that you and I follow. And measure also the number of sunnah that you break. Measure, because one day we will be measured. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, and now we are on the ayat 6, 7 and 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, if a rebellious person, if a fasiq, evil person comes to you with some news, if a person like that comes to you with some news, verify it. Don't believe it, verify it. Lest you harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful for what you have done. And know that among you is the messenger of Allah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. If he were to obey you, if he were to follow you, if he were to listen to you and accept your judgments in much of the matter, you would surely be in trouble. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endeared iman, has endeared the faith to you and has beautified the faith in your hearts and has made disbelief and wickedness and disobedience. Kufra wal fusuqa wal isyan. He has made these things hateful to you. These who? People who love the faith and who hate disobedience. They are the rightly guided ones. And this guidance is a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his favor, and Allah is all knowing, all wise. These ayat were revealed in the Asbabun Nuzul of these ayat. These ayat were revealed when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a man by the name of Al-Walid bin Uqba bin Abi Mu'it to collect the zakat from a tribe called Banu Mustaliq. Now there was some old enmity between Al-Walid and Banu Mustaliq. So when Al-Walid was going towards the habitation of that tribe, he suddenly, for some reason, he started feeling, shaitan whispered into his ears, and he started feeling that maybe I will be attacked, maybe they will kill me. So he didn't even reach their place. He turned around and came back. Now not only did he turn around and come back, he came back and said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, they refused to pay zakat and they were going to kill me. And I escaped. That is a total lie. He came and said this to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got very angry. And he was on the point of sending an army to fight Banu Mustaliq because they had refused to pay zakat. And at this point, Meanwhile, what happened was that the people of Banu Mustalik, they knew, their scouts told them that so-and-so is coming, and suddenly this man was nowhere to be seen. So they said, well, this messenger of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe he got angry with us, so maybe Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was angry with us, so he called him back midway or something. So let us go and meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they took their zakat and they came to meet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala revealed this ayah, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, do not believe somebody just because they come and tell you something. Don't believe a fasiq, don't believe a wrongdoer, don't believe someone just because they come and make a complaint. Go and verify, otherwise you may say something or do something about which you will have to regret later on. Now imagine if the army had gone, if there was a war, I mean these people were innocent, right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah saved his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that situation. And Allah revealed this ayah. This is the asbabun nuzul, the shan and nuzul of this particular ayah. It is also one of the many ayat which are proof that Rasulullah ﷺ was not alimul ghaib. The Nabi of Allah ﷺ knew what Allah had informed him about the ghaib. He was not alimul ghaib mutlaq. He did not know everything about the ghaib, because if he knew about the ghaib, this whole ayah would not be necessary to be revealed, because he would know what the reality is. But he did not know what the reality is. When Al-Walid came and told him this lie, Nabi ﷺ believed him. And he was going to take some action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved that situation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. Now, question that we have to ask ourselves is this. How many times has it happened in our lives that someone comes to us and tells us a story about somebody else, and immediately we believe that person and we form a negative opinion about that person? How many times? How many times does it happen that someone tells a story about somebody and you say, no, I don't believe you. That person can never say that about me. Which one happens more often? It's a human tendency, may Allah protect us, it's a human tendency to believe the negative far quicker and far more easily than the positive. Negative we believe like a shot, but not the positive. Although we should say, I mean, so-and-so is my friend. And if somebody says, for example, if Khurram is in front of me, says, Khurram was saying this about you, I should say, no, sorry, I cannot believe that. Khurram can never say this about me. Right? And if it is important enough, then I go meet Khurram and I said, kya was, did you say this about me or what? So and so told me. No. Immediately, acha, aisa bole Khurram. Arre wa? Main kya kar raha tha unko? What did I do wrong? How did I wrong you? Why did he say so and so? And now you build this whole negativity about the person in your mind on the basis of absolute nothing. As I said, this is the surah of the ummah. Put this in the context of the Muslims. Put this in the context of keeping the hearts together. Put this in the context of family relations. Put this in the context of the relations of the Muslims one with the other. What does this attitude of the willingness to believe negative things about each other, what do you think it does to our relationship with one another? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ayah and said, be careful, listen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this amazing statement, wa'lamu anna feekum Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the sahaba, know that among you is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about this, why does Allah need to tell the sahaba that? What is the need? Did they not know who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was? The ayah came because they knew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ayah came to reinforce the importance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't just think that just because you are related to him, just because he is your friend, just because he is your cousin or your uncle or something, that he is just like you and you can treat him just like anybody else. No. He is the messenger of Allah. He has a special status, he has a special position, he has special authority. He is a human being like you, he is not worthy of worship, he is not alimul ghaib, but he is not like you in any other way than being human. And this is the big confusion that people have. In some cases, people go to one extreme where they start treating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if he was superhuman, as if na'udhu billah he was a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say he is not human, he is Noor. And his Rabb says he is human, he is not Noor. Now who do you believe? You or his Rabb? And on the other hand, you have the other people who commit kufr because they speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the respect and honor which is due to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly, no. He is drawing attention to the sahaba. It's like in our language also. You say, Aji, kaise baat kar rahe hai, malum hai? Bolte nahi? Samne admi khada hua hai. Kisse baat kar rahe hai, malum hai? Do you know who you are talking to? Of course, you don't know. Who is he? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing the attention of the people to say that don't just treat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if he is just one of you. No. He is the messenger of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a very funny thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it's a good thing he does not listen to you. He says it's a good thing. It's a good thing he does not obey you. It's a good thing he does not listen to you. It's a good thing he rules against your wills and wishes and desires. It's a good thing that he establishes the law even where you don't like what he is doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is good for you. Because if he listened to you, you would be in trouble. If he listened to you, you would be in trouble. See the principles of being an ummah which are being taught. The principle which is being taught is that if there is any question between what I want and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then which must have precedence? The word of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes or no? Yes. Whether or not I like it, whether or not I agree with it, whether or not I understand it, irrespective of that, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is good, then it is good. See the behavior of the people who learned this directly from the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was stabbed in Salatul Fajr when he was leading Salah. And the man stabbed him and ripped his abdomen open. And they tied it up. And they said that if he tried to drink some water, the water would flow out. It was a mortal wound, he was dying. He was lying in his house. And one of the young Ansar came to meet him. He came to meet the Amirul Mumineen. He came to inquire after him. And as the young man was going away, Sayyidina Umar said, call him back. The man was called back. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to him, raise your garment. He said, raise your izar, your lower garment, your trousers. He said, raise it above your ankles. He said, that is better for your taqwa and it is better for your garment. Now think about this. Here is a man who is Amirul Mumineen. He is among the closest of the Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is an alim of this ummah. He is a qazi, he is a judge, he is a mufti. And he is dying. At that time, when you are dying, what do you expect somebody to say? What do you expect somebody to mention? Something which is extremely important. You don't expect someone to mention something which is small and trivial and really not worth the trouble. No? I mean, you don't do that. That's not your dying statement. I mean, you don't do that last statement on earth kind of thing. Never. So why does he talk about the length of the trouser? Maybe he understood something about that hadith that we don't understand, yeah? Because we seem to think it doesn't matter. Our trouser is not only below the ankle, it is below the heel. We walk on that trouser. I don't know, how is it that you don't have a sense of filth and dirtiness yourself? Karahiyat kaisa nahi aati aapko? You are walking on that trouser. On the street, in the road, it's under your trouser. Just look at the way the bottom of the trouser is frayed and it is discolored. You go into the toilet with that same thing. And you come and pray salah on the musalla with that same thing. I mean, guys, do I need to say all this? And the other part of the story, the trouser is so down below because from the top it is so down. Further up. La hawla quwwata illa billah. The guy standing next to you, he makes ruku or he makes sujood, and you have to go and make wudu. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Your salah is invalid. Your aura has become visible. Your salah is khalas, gone. Your juma is over. Please treat yourself with dignity. Treat the masjid with dignity. Treat yourself with dignity. What is the dignity in wearing clothes like this which reveal that which should be hidden? The Sahaba understood the importance of the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that it's a good thing my Nabi does not obey you. It's a good thing my Nabi does not listen to you. Because if he listen to you, you are the people who will be in trouble. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, but Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made Iman beloved to you. And has muzayyan kiya Allah ne qalb ko. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has decorated and glorified this Iman in your qalb. What is the decoration of the qalb? The muhabbat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Iman on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made hateful to you Al-Kufr wal-Fusuq wal-Isyan. Allah has made hateful to you denial of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's orders. Allah has made hateful to you rebelliousness of all kinds. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made hateful to you disobedience of Allah of all kinds. It covers every single thing you can imagine. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Those are the people who are rightly guided. Which people? People in whose hearts Iman has flowered. People whose hearts are illuminated with the noor of obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. People whose lives are illuminated with the noor of the Sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People who hate to disobey Allah. People who hate to disobey the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The criteria of the rightly guided people has been clearly specified. Ulaika humur rashidun. Again, if you go into the Arabic grammar of this, there's re-emphasis after re-emphasis. These are the people who are the rightly guided people. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً. And this guidance, did they get it because of their effort? Because they are so smart? No. This is the fadl of Allah. So let us make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala should make His fadl on us and make this fadl visible in our hearts and visible in our lives. Abhi, make dua. No? Let's make this dua. Oh Allah, give us your fadl. What is the fadl of Allah? The desire to obey Allah. The desire to follow the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the fadl of Allah. Not my fatwa. I am reciting to you the ayat of Suratul Hujurat. Go and read them. And Allah is all knowing, all wise. My brothers and sisters, this is a great reminder for those who open their eyes to Islam and make major life changes and become obedient to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us among those who are able to do this. Because believe me, at the end of the day, it's not what we know, but what we do, which will make a difference. I want to remind you and myself that if being obedient to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and hating all that is His disobedience is a sign of His grace and favor, then what is the tendency to disobey Him and obey our own desires a sign of? What's the opposite of this? If this is the sign of rushd, the sign of guidance, then the opposite of this is a sign of what? No brainer, right? And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned that specifically in Surah Al-Furqan. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إنهم إلا كالأنام بل هم أضل سبيلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen the one who has taken as his God, as his ilah, as the one he worships, his own desire? To obey your own desire in opposition to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. This is what Allah is saying. The one who has taken his desire as his ilah. What is the meaning of taking something else other than Allah as ilah? Is it shirk or is it not shirk? It is shirk. So anytime there is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anytime when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah is before you and you deliberately chose to break it, you are committing shirk. It's a very, very serious matter. Please understand this very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, and Allah then goes to say, and he says, would you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would you then be a wakil for that person? Will you intercede for that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited his Nabi from making dua for the one who deliberately disobeys Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, or do you think that most of them hear or understand? They are only like cattle. And he said, no, they are even worse than cattle, even further astray from the path. Because cattle are obedient to Allah. It is the human beings who are disobedient to Allah. Everything else in the kainat obeys Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to change our lives and to change our ways and to stop following our nafs and to stop following our desires and to stop following those stupid friends of ours who tell us that we should be popular with them. Let us instead try to be popular with the malaika of Allah. Let us try to be popular with the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Let us be popular with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Let us do those actions before it is too late. Because the time to go, when it comes, it cannot be stopped. Just yesterday I met a friend of mine who told me that another friend of ours is in the last terminal stages of cancer. The guy is under 50. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure him. May Allah relieve his pain and suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help him. There's also dua for another sister of ours who's undergoing a liver operation in America tomorrow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that operation successful. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure her completely and to relieve her pain. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get her home safe and sound, inshallah. And to bless her and her family. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.